The Pure Nintendo Koopa Cast is back, and this episode is all about E3 2021. We've had about a week or so to digest the news, and of course, depending on when you're listening to this, this could be fresh or it could be dated. But anyway, we're going to discuss a bunch of the announcements, and as always, joining me is a man who's been to his fair share of E3s, Justin.
Hey everyone, good to be here.
And for the first time on Koopa Cast, another E3 veteran and Intellivision lover, we have Kirk.
Good to be here.
All right, guys. I figured we'd just start off. How does it feel to have Nintendo news? It feels like it's been so sporadic with COVID and everything, but how did you guys feel watching the presentation? Justin, why don't you kick us off?
Oh man. At the time I was feeling a little under the weather, so I ended up actually I was taking a nap at the time, but when I did watch it later that evening, it was very exciting to just have some Nintendo news, like you said, let alone an E3 Direct and seeing Metroid Dread, like that was fantastic. I don't know if Harrison ends up listening, but he's one of our fellow Metroid aficionados, so I'm sure he was really excited about it too. But Metroid Dread, Breath of the Wild sequel, it was fun to see those, and just fun to see Nintendo having some time in the spotlight.
For sure. Do you concur, Kirk?
Oh yes, yeah, I do. It was fun. I started watching it on the computer in my office, but within about 3 or 4 minutes, my son had pulled it up on the Apple TV in the living room. So we sat it there together and watched the whole thing, which was flexing and exciting at the same time.
Nice. So there we have it, guys. Kirk watched on the big screen, and Justin slept through it. But all right, there's a lot of games to talk about. And time's not going to permit us to talk about them all, but we do have a little list we made of some of our favorites, some individual favorites, and some favorites that are like group favorites. So I figured we could just go through them one at a time. First one I had on my list, and these are in no particular order, by the way. It's just I think it's generally the order of how they were presented. But I had Mario Party Superstars. I'm a Mario Party fan, and the big thing that jumped out to me is, first of all, they have controls that are traditional. So if you're a Switch Lite owner or someone who's just not into motion controls, they get you covered. They also have better online, which I think is long overdue. So I'm excited about this one. How about you guys? Any thoughts on Mario Party Superstars?
I think I can weigh in on this. Mario Party has been one of the games that my family, especially when my kids were young, this was our New Year's Eve tradition. We'd pull that out every New Year's Eve and play through it. And I don't think I've liked any of the games as much as I did. Was it Mario Party 6 on the GameCube? Was it 5?
I think six was on GameCube. Yeah, sounds about right.
5, 6, and
Either.
7 were all GameCube, and 4,
Okay.
actually.
It may have been 5 is the first one we've gotten. It seems that since then a lot of the they've tried to be too clever with the gameplay instead of just letting it be a board game with the mini games that are interspersed, and that's what I like most about it. So seeing that it's including these old board games from the earlier editions has me excited because I think it's back to the style of Mario Party game that I like to play.
Yeah, tapping into that nostalgia too. How about you, Justin? Any thoughts?
I'm not the biggest Mario Party fan, but I've enjoyed a lot of the games over the years. It looked like they were even remastering some older levels too, which I thought was cool. It almost reminded me, seeing some of like the Mario Kart 64 tracks for the first time in Mario Kart 8, when they got remastered in HD, and thinking like, man, these feel like new levels now, you know? So I hope that similarly the remastered levels for Superstars have that fresh feel to them. But I think it'll be fun. I'll definitely check it out. I like the online options, the Control options are good, although I do like the motion controls too.
Yeah, I feel like bringing back the traditional controls is what maybe prevented them from just doing DLC for Super Mario Party. Because originally I was thinking, oh, this is going to get some DLC. It's just got the four boards, but I think I'm okay with another release. I'm like Kirk. I like the GameCube entries. I think five maybe was my favorite for the longest time. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good, solid entry. And the nice thing about party games is you're able to get the whole family involved. So.
Yeah, and if you guys aren't doing anything New Year's Eve, you can join us.
That's right, especially the online modes or in
That's
person, I assume.
what no, I'm not inviting you to my house. What's wrong with you guys?
Come
It's
on.
New Year's Eve. Spend it with your family. Come on.
That's right.
I might take you up on that, Kirk. So put me down for a maybe. Mario Party Superstars.
Book it. Book it. New Year's Eve 2022.
All righty. So next on our list, Justin already mentioned it. And this was also my personal game of the show, Metroid Dread, also known as Metroid 5, I guess. Dread's one of those games that we heard about way back when. Probably back when we were playing Mario Party on the GameCube, but here we are all these years later, and it's finally coming. Take it away, Justin. I know you're really excited about a Metroid Dread.
Yeah, I'm excited for really anything Metroid. I think it was maybe a little too hopeful for Metroid Prime 4 news, even though it's been, I think, 2.5 years since they rebooted development for it. But I'm fine if they're taking a little bit more time, and it sort of makes sense why they've been a little bit quiet if they've been working on Metroid Dread since, Samus Returns came out on the 3DS. So I think they were like, well, let's give some space. Let's let them work on Metroid Prime 4 and all the while develop this brand new 2D Metroid. So I'm excited with that approach. Dread looks fantastic. Like you said, the numbering is kind of an interesting thing there with being Metroid 5, since I think technically it'll be a direct sequel to Fusion, which was the follow-up to Super Metroid. And I think the Prime games chronologically would be between the first two Metroid games, I believe. Metroid 1 and then Metroid 2 on the Game Boy. But I'm looking forward to it. The graphics look great. The gameplay looks very smooth. I love the 60 frames per second. I love the new slide ability that Samus has. Looks like the melee counter can also be executed while you're moving. So it just looks like they've taken a lot of the things that they added in Samus Returns, and just made it feel even more fluid. And then seeing it in HD visuals, even in a 2D side-scrolling game, it just looks amazing. And just hearing that music, the Metroid music, it just sounds so. You can feel the isolation, just from the music and the art style. So very excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I just lost my point. Kirk, you got anything to say while I try to remember here?
Sure. I think Metroid Dread looks fantastic. I'm excited about it. I thought it was one of the more exciting announcements, but I am never going to play it. I am so bad at these kind of games. In a way, I'm hoping that my son will get it and I could just watch him play, because I think I would have as much fun watching as I would trying it myself. I played the Prime games, and I'm better at those than the 2D side-scrolling action games. But it was still a very exciting announcement.
See, that's interesting. You said that. Jen, my wife, was more excited for this one because she's kind of like the opposite of you. She's better at the 2D and she's at the 3D. So, but that's the cool thing about the Metroid franchise is it's got something for everyone. I remembered what I wanted to say, Justin. You were talking about some of the, I think like the melee counter, some of the things that were introduced in Samus Returns. And after the Dread announcement, I went back and started playing that on my 3DS, and which is a game I absolutely love. But I feel like it was a good way too for a, who was it, Mercury?
Mercury Steam.
Mercury Steam, yeah, to kind of cut their tooth on the franchise. I think Dread's going to be awesome. I like the idea of kind of constantly, it seemed like almost like a nemesis from Resident Evil. Like, you know, are you going to just be chased? Like, when are they going to pop up? Like, mm-hmm. that whole kind of stealth mechanic. I'm intrigued by that. I need to see more of it. I didn't catch all the Treehouse footage, but yeah, I'm just excited. My one complaint, and I don't know if you guys want to weigh in on this, is I cannot find the Amiibo for the life of me. They were like instantly, pre-orders were sold out.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's been the case with all the kind of recent Amiibo, like Skyward Sword, same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you think it's bots scooping them up? Do you think it's legitimate collectors?
I don't know. It does seem like they're underproducing, you know, some of these. It may be bots and, you know, people trying to resell. I was trying to find the special edition, Trev, because they have a special edition for Metroid Dread that has like a 190 page art book and like a steel case for it. So it reminds me of like the Metroid Prime Trilogy steel case that they did, and I'm like, oh man, I probably have to get that. But as soon as I heard that had gone live, it was sold out. But I think it hasn't gone live on Amazon yet. So there may still be some hope, both for the Amiibo for Metroid Dread and also the special edition. So I'm gonna keep my eyes peeled for it. But hopefully Nintendo sees. You know, like part of me is like, do they put like really small stock out there, see how quick it sells out? And then they're like, okay, companies that are making our Amiibo and special editions, could you increase production? And then do they put up another round? I don't know. Like, to me, that would be smart if they like, you know, have some initial run and they're like, okay, demand is going to be this. These aren't going to launch for 3 months. Let's up the production, you know, because... the demand has not been met yet. So, anyways.
But don't they usually do a double run or more of the Amiibos anyway? Like, they'll be gone for a while and you're spending 50, 60 bucks on eBay, and then suddenly they're back in stores for $15.
Yeah, they have done some reprints for, I know, the Zelda ones, like the Breath of the Wild ones that went out of stock early on. But... The worrying thing is if they don't reprint the special editions, though, because typically with special editions, those are just a, you know, kind of one and done thing. So I'm really hoping that they just haven't released all of the stock for it yet. And the fact that I'm pretty sure people said it hadn't even gone up on Amazon. I think it only went up on GameStop and I think Best Buy possibly. But anyways, hopefully they can rectify it before launch.
I can get in a way why they're maybe being conservative, because I mean the special editions, what, like was it $80 or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a, for most people, that's not a small chunk and change.
Yep.
And you know, so even with the Amiibo, I mean, it's a double pack, so I think it was 30.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Toys for Life's not as big as it was like back in the Skylander days, but you gotta know that, you know, that core fan base is gonna scoop it up. So I don't know, we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
I don't think they quite anticipated the response Metroid Dread would have. Like, I think I saw something that GameStop said it was the most pre-ordered game after E3. And that's across all platforms. So I think Nintendo, you know, whether they're realizing it now, they've got, you know, people are thirsty for some Metroid, and I think with the Switch being so popular, Metroid Dread has a real potential to, you know, do what a lot of other franchises have happened on the Switch, where it's reinvigorated them. You know, think of Fire Emblem, think of, you know, Animal Crossing. It's introduced, you know, all these Switch players to these, you know, amazing franchises. So I hope it really kickstarts Metroid, and maybe it paves the way, you know, add some Metroid fan base numbers, and then when Metroid Prime 4 finally does get revealed, people are like, "Ooh, I like Metroid. I want some of this," you know.
So
it was a really good idea to slide this in, because you can imagine that if there was no Metroid announcement at all.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with everyone waiting for 4, it just would have been bloody murder.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I got to say, on my social media, Twitter, even more than Breath of the Wild 2, and to be fair, we saw more footage, but Metroid Dread seems like it's the game most people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every other person I follow, Metroid Dread. You know, except for the oddball who talks about the Intellivision Amico, but you know,
what do we get? Is that next? Are we up next? I've got my notes here.
Oh man, I feel like we could speculate on Metroid the whole show here, but moving on. For the sake of time, we have a game that I feel like this game was spoiled. Like, we heard about it a little bit before,
mm-hmm.
But it's the follow up to Mario and Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, which was one of the early hits on the Wii, on the Switch. And I think a game that surprised a lot of people. Justin, I know you were looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it was really surprising. I mean, when you hear that there's a new Mario game and they're combining it with Rabbids, and the gameplay is basically XCOM, you know, like an XCOM light. But actually has a surprising amount of depth, like XCOM does. So, definitely it was a very surprising collaboration for the first game. The sequel does look like more of the same, and I think that's probably, you know, a good thing. People really enjoyed the first one. Seems like they are making the gameplay a little bit more fluid. Maybe it's not going to be as grid-based dependent, at least going off some of the initial footage that they showed. That may not be fully how it ends up in the final version, but the game looks fantastic in what they showed off and some of the early gameplay looks. So I saw it was a 2022 title, so I'm sure it's got plenty of time still left, but definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I didn't even think about the release date. Ubisoft's more inclined to show stuff further out, I guess, than you know, as opposed to in the next, you know, 3-4 months or whatever. Any thoughts on this one, Kirk?
I don't. I didn't play the first one. It didn't move me, but you know, I bet that it's one of those games where if I sat down and started to play, because it is in line with the type of gameplay that I like, I probably would like it more. So maybe I'll check it out. But there are some other games ahead of it on the list.
Yeah, the original is you can find pretty inexpensive at this point too.
Yeah,
and it's got some DLC. I did want to give a shout out. Justin gave a shout out for Harrison talking about Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Paxton, if you're listening to this CoopaCast, you still owe me eating your hat, as you said the game would never be successful, and the first game was successful, and here we are with the sequel. So, I don't forget these things.
There's some hat eating in the future, in a future podcast.
I remember. I think I even put that in my review at the of the first game, which I liked. I'm like,
We'll have to have Matt on when the inevitable next Xenoblade game gets announced.
we're like anonymous, Matt. We don't forget. Okay, where am I here on our list? Monster Hunter Stories 2. Kirk, why don't you start us off on this one?
Yeah, this one's interesting because I tried the regular Monster Hunter series and didn't get into it that much. And when they announced Monster Hunter Stories 2, it kind of just slipped right past me. But the more I started looking at it, the more I thought, I think I could really get into this game. I like the way it looks. I'm not too much into the whole gacha kind of thing with the egg hunting and collecting so you can get your monsters. But everything else about it, I think, looks pretty slick. The visuals, the gameplay looks good. So I think I'm actually going to go back and pick up the first Monster Hunter Stories and play through that just to prepare for this, because I really think I want to get into the series now.
Yeah, I really, and Justin for that matter too, because I think you reviewed it. Mm-hmm. I really liked Monster Hunter Stories on 3DS. It was a game I felt that really kind of stretched the hardware to its limits. Mm-hmm. So to see the follow-up on Switch, I think it'll do the game justice. Not that the 3DS didn't, because I was hugely impressed by what the original did, but yeah, there's a lot of, I think, a lot of potential there, and potential to be a time sink too. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, I like you were saying, I really enjoyed the first game on the 3DS. When I saw that this was announced, you know, alongside Monster Hunter Rise, you know, I like Kirk, didn't really get into the core Monster Hunter series, and I've heard really good things about Rise. I heard good things about what was it, the previous iteration, Monster Hunter World, that really resonated with people and kind of broadened the audience for Monster Hunter. But I don't know, it just hasn't clicked with me. I should probably try out the Rise demo sometime. But I did see they have a Monster Hunter Stories 2 demo. I think it may be coming out tonight or tomorrow for the Switch, and then your progress can carry over. So I'll definitely be picking that up. And yeah, I'll probably pick up the sequel. It looks really good. Like Kirk said, art style, gameplay. I even like the names of the monsters, the monsties, like your bestie monsters or whatever it is. But it has like a fun feel to it, and I like just the story element to it. It's kind of that more typical, you know, RPG. And yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it.
I'm gonna have to look for the demo. I feel like I checked maybe before they updated the eShop, so if it did come out this week, I'll have to look for. I like it when the demos let you carry over, yeah. Especially for RPGs like this. Yep. I think that's a good thing. I'm kind of like you, Justin, with the whole Monster Hunter. It's like, you know, I feel guilty even stealing the eggs, but it's like, well, you know, at least they're going to be your buddies. You're not just slaughtering them for, you know, materials or whatever. Yeah.
It's true. It's almost like it's like Pokemon a little bit, right? Like you're like, well, I'm fighting them, but they're also my buddy. So
I tell you. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Monster Hunter Stories 2, one to keep an eye on. Next on our list, Shin Megami Tensei 5. I feel like they showed a fair amount of footage for this in the direct, but Kirk, I know you had your eye on this one.
Yeah, I've been a fan of this series for quite some time. I would say at least going back to the 3DS, so there are certainly people that have been into it longer than I have, but I have yet to play one of these games in any of the iterations where I didn't get completely into it. I find the universe fascinating. I find the characters fascinating. The turn-based gameplay is great, quite unique, with the demon collecting and bargaining with them to get them to join you, and if not, you kill them, or they kill you, I guess. Kind of like Monster Hunter Stories 2, except instead of just kidnapping someone's egg, you're taking an entire demon with you. But yeah, I thought the game looks great, and it was one of the better looking games I always felt on the 3DS, and being able to see it on the large screen, it just looks really, really cool. I'll be curious to see what they do with the demons, because it always got a mature rating, because a few of the demons were symbolic, I guess I'll say, of things. So I just checked actually before we started this to see what the rating is going to be. I mean, it doesn't make a difference, but I was curious, and it's still rating pending, so we'll see what they do. Some of those demons will translate well to the big screen.
Yeah, probably not too many E-rated demons, I guess.
Well.
What are some of the things there, Kirk? This is a we're recording after hours, you can tell us.
Well, they're demons that are based on actual like demons from different religions and different cultures, and one of them is just a very much a phallic demon. I'll leave it at that. I can't remember his name, but that demon has been in all of them, and he's one of the harder ones to get. Pardon my phrasing there. But it's only a few of them that are like that. It's you know there's that's it. It's just the imagery.
Well, this will definitely be one that that you cover, Kirk.
Oh yeah. I mean that, yeah, it's I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope we get a good demo for that game too.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into the series myself, but I think it was a pretty big get that Nintendo got this exclusively for the Switch. That seems like I know it's been on PlayStation platforms previously, right, Kirk? And Nintendo.
I believe so.
Yeah, so that was a pretty big exclusivity deal for this, major new sequel in the series to be Switch only. So, and granted, Switch has the consoles out there to warrant it for the publisher, but
And they don't really feel like Nintendo games. Like to me, it's more of a PlayStation kind of title. The stories are very dark. It's always gods versus demons. Do humans need gods? And it's a lot of heavy religion themes and some anti-religion themes, depending on which route you take. So it's aimed at a very mature audience.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's like Nintendo's kind of odd like that sometimes, right? Like there's certain franchises, like remember like Mad World on the Wii, or even the Bayonetta series. Like that was kind of an interesting one that Nintendo decided to produce, and like, hey, we're gonna bring this sequel exclusively to the Wii U, or you know what I mean? Like that's it is interesting the franchises Nintendo picks and chooses that are on that mature side of things. But I it helps build a diverse lineup for the Switch, and so.
Where was Bayonetta, by the way? I feel
Oh
like
man, that's
that's
true.
not on our list, but
Yeah.
yeah.
I always hear people joking about it, like, is she gonna have a new haircut the next time they show her, or are they gonna but they keep saying, I think someone did actually ask Bill Trennan during the digital E3, just sometime within the last week, and he just said, well, it's development's progressing. So I was like, I think we've heard that line the last 3 years.
Please understand.
Yes.
I wondered if, like, because we heard all the rumors, and of course they didn't talk about anything with the Switch Pro, but I'm wondering if some of these games at this point they've decided, like they did with the new 3DS when it came out, some games you could only play on the new 3DS. If they're do I would hate to see them do that, but if they went the same route and some of this, you really needed that extra power or whatever they're going to put into that to play some of these games. And that's why like that and Prime 4, Metroid Prime 4 weren't mentioned because they want those to be part of that announcement.
I do think I think you're right, Kirk, that they're saving some of those games to like announce alongside that Switch Pro. I don't think they're going to go the exclusive route. I think they'll, especially with Prime 4, like they announced that. I mean, some people bought a Switch for that game, like so I would that would be a tough pill to swallow if they said, hey, this is only, Switch Pro only. But I do think that you're right that they're going to promote the Switch Pro with those games, and they're going to show them off with the Switch Pro, hardware, right? And kind of like Breath of the Wild, right? I mean, Nintendo started promoting Breath of the Wild, and they were showing basically Switch gameplay. Granted, the graphics weren't that much different between the Switch and the Wii U version, but most of the marketing was, hey, the Switch version, you should get that. Oh yeah, it's also coming to Wii U, but so I
That would make more sense, I think, because say you get the Switch Pro, then you're going to get this in 60 FPS, or
yes.
you're going to get 4K. So it'll
Right.
work on the Switch. It's just not, you want the Switch Pro for this game.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Lots to think about. I was just thinking too, with before we get off of like Shin Megami, with a lot of these mature rated franchises, Nintendo, tends to be family friendly, but for those who are into that, Nintendo will bring in a third party to, hey, port it to our console, or in some cases even publish it, for someone to try to, like Justin said, broaden the audience for people who are into that kind of thing. So, and that's even like the Switch marketing, right? Is like something for everyone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think Nintendo has done probably their best job ever with any of their console generations with third party support. It feels like third party games are actually performing much better on Switch than they ever have on previous Nintendo consoles. And it's really, partly it's an effort on Nintendo to actually promote some of these games. Like think about like Doom and Doom Eternal. Like Nintendo's like actively promoting those and the DLC for those games from their official social media accounts. Like even on the Wii U, they were starting to do some of that, but in the past, like that's kind of unheard of for Nintendo to do that sort of direct marketing for third party games. So yeah, Nintendo has definitely I think improved in that regard. With helping the third party publishers feel like, hey, we're not just promoting our first party content all the time.
Yeah. And speaking of mature games, we have here Fatal Frame. I imagine this is a mature game too, right? I'm not familiar with it. Maiden of Blackwater.
I think so. It's
Kirk, you were into this one, right?
Well, I wasn't into it. I want to get into it.
Oh, I see.
I played when it came out on the Wii U. I grabbed the demo. That was kind of at the end of the Wii U's life, I believe. And I grabbed the demo and I played through it and thought, I want to get this game, and I never did. I still have my Wii U and I could get it at any time, but I kept thinking eventually I think this game's going to come to the Switch, because you saw a lot of those late release games that didn't get much of an audience get their audience on the Switch. So yeah, when they announced me, I thought this is definitely a day one purchase for me. Also because I really enjoy horror movies, or excuse me, horror games, and playing them with my daughter, who's also into the horror games, and it doesn't play them alone. So we kind of have each other in the room to stop us from quitting too soon.
Oh, that's cute.
So but yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. There was a lot of DLC for it, I know, where you could put people in different outfits, and the outfits were, we'll say again, a little more mature. I think all of that is going to be included, and then they're also going to include some new ones yet. So if there is a mature thing, it goes with that, but I don't believe that there's any like gore or violence along with it. It's more of like the traditional sort of Japanese horror style ambiance to it.
Oh, there you go.
It does seem like it's this may be a reductive statement, but it seems like a scary Pokemon Snap a little bit. Like you're taking pictures of these different ghosts to capture them, or is that sort of right, Kirk, or?
You're moving through very creepy environments, and yeah, ghosts will come out at you. And they're coming to kill you, and you can't kill them. You need to basically take photographs of them in order to prevent them, to capture them more or less.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it is, except they're aggressively coming at you to have you join them in the other world.
And now, like Scooby-Doo, huh? Where you yank off a mask and it's just the butler or anything like that.
It was rated mature on the Wii U.
Oh,
Interesting.
it's in blood.
You made an interesting point about games getting second chances. of being late on the Wii U. I feel like the 3DS too, to some extent, is getting that. Like we just had Miitopia, which wasn't a bad seller on 3DS, but it was fairly late. Or Samus Returns, which was the game before Metroid Dread, didn't get the sales it probably deserves. So I feel like that's a good thing for especially the Wii U, an underrated console. I know people knock the ports, but let more people experience them.
Yeah, I think people knock the ports until a game that they always wanted to play gets ported, and then they're all for it. Yeah, I unless ports are interfering with development of other games that you're expecting or new games, then and I don't understand why anyone gets upset about it. The bigger you can make an audience for a series, the better.
All right, moving along, we have a franchise that I feel like is associated with the GameCube and DS days. We have Advance Wars 1 and 2, which I think was one of the more surprising announcements, at least for me. Yeah, either you guys have much experience with this series. I don't, so.
I do. I actually went to a launch party for I think it was Advance Wars. It's one of the DS ones, the second one they did on the DS. And got a free copy. Had to stay outside all night in New York in January. So it was a little cold,
Oh my.
but it was fun. Ben, one of our writers that was here a while ago, we stood in line for that. So it was a fun, road trip up there, and got some free games from it. So it was fun experience. But so yeah, the Advance Wars series, I am all about that. I was a little taken aback by the graphical style. Having that kind of 3D toy soldier, aesthetic to it. It looks like just very colorful, very saturated, very, overdone a little bit. I love that WayForward is doing it. I believe they're, you can see some of their signature with the character designs, the CO, animations. You can definitely see some of that inspiration, in that animation style from recent Shantae games, but yeah, I'm excited about it. I watched some of the Treehouse gameplay, and it's right up my alley. So I haven't seen confirmation that they're gonna have the level editor. That was always a big thing in those games. You had the you could create your own levels and even share them even early on with those games. So. Hoping it still has some of that.
Yeah, you think you would have to with the Switch's improved online, make it easier to share. Derek, you ever get into these? I know you like Fire Emblem, so.
Well, yeah, that's the curious thing about it. When I first got into Fire Emblem, it was right around the time of Radiant Dawn. I started playing that, went back and purchased Path of Radiance. And when I, after those games started bouncing back to the DS games that I could find, I always saw Advance Wars mentioned hand in hand with Fire Emblem. I never played it because my favorite thing about Fire Emblem were the characters and the permadeath and then the stories that went along with it. And Advance Wars just seemed to me, although the gameplay was kind of the same, but I was mainly just controlling tanks or different military equipment and moving them around in Fire Emblem style play. Although I think Advance Wars was first, right? Or wasn't it?
Well, Fire Emblem is a bit of an older series,
Maybe first
Or
for
maybe,
like localization.
yeah, maybe that's it.
yes,
But yeah, I do love this style game. So I'm curious to try it out. Hopefully we get the demo for this too, so I can get a feel for it. As Justin was saying, the cartoony graphics sort of took me a little bit by surprise, and I'm not sure I like the way that whole thing is set up, but gameplay always wins out. So I'll try it and see if I can get into this too. And since there were no Fire Emblem announcements, I can at least get this style of gameplay while I'm waiting for something to come along from that franchise.
Do you think the cartoony presentation was just because of the theme, it's war, and Nintendo's trying to keep it less intense.
Like, I can't imagine the originals were very intense in their presentation.
Yeah. Yeah, like it, I could see that, Trev. But yeah, like the originals were kind of, I guess, a little cartoony. Some of
More modest hardware too now in HD.
Yeah.
How graphic do you want it, or detailed, I guess, do you want it to be?
Yeah, I do think that, Nintendo hasn't done, at least yet, a really good, like, higher quality pixel based remake. You know what I mean? Like think about Link's Awakening. While the style eventually grew on me, it was still a little bit of a shocker, coming from pixel graphics to what that ended up being. So I think it's just a little bit of that with Advance Wars. Like, part of me, especially after playing a game like Wargroove, I don't know if you guys played that. It's definitely a heavily inspired Advance Wars. I wouldn't say it's really a clone. It does a lot of its own things really well, but it uses this kind of higher quality pixel graphics and really cool animations and, just fantastic pixel art. And I would love to see what Nintendo would do with pixel art and some really fun animation. Think of, like, if you guys played like the Neo Geo, like that Samurai Showdown, Last Blade, that type of animation quality for think like 24-bit, 32-bit, but still pixel. I would love to see what Nintendo could do with that. But I guarantee you it's much more work than just doing some 3D models. So I can see why they do that.
Advance Wars 1 and 2 coming soon to a Switch near you. And we're going to move on to Zelda now. And we haven't forgotten about our Zelda Koopa cast, by the way. They'll be coming back just to plug future episodes. But for the 35th, we got a new Game & Watch Zelda. It's got the original Link's Awakening. Not Link's Awakening. I'm sorry. Link's Awakening. And Adventure Link. And I think a repurposed Game & Watch game.
Yeah. I thought it was the original Zelda 2, right? With some repurposed...
Original Zelda. The two NES games.
Mm-hmm.
Link's Awakening, but just the black and white version. Not the not the DX version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, this is a cool looking thing. What do you think? I feel like maybe there's not a lot to say on it, but it is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They did another one of these Game & Watch collector's edition recently too, didn't they, last year?
Yeah, it was the Mario one.
That's right. The 35th anniversary Mario one. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I don't have much nostalgia for the Game & Watch series. I don't know that we ever had a Game & Watch. Like, the first Nintendo console we had was the NES. So there's not a whole lot of nostalgia there. And it almost seems a little weird to me to have, the Game & Watch handhelds at the time were kind of like that calculator watch graphics, right? Like, it's kind of like embedded in the screen. They were more rudimentary than the Game Boy, the original Game Boy. So... To see, like, more like full color, games on a Game & Watch form factor is just kind of strange to me. But, it's almost like, well, why not just have some other thing, have just some sort of a, Game Boy Advance Mini or I don't know, something. But I guess if you do that, then people want it to be more, have more games for it. And Game & Watch was always a... per game type of a handheld. So that's probably why they do it. But it's probably not something I'll end up picking up. It is kind of a cool novelty, but anyways.
Yeah. It's interesting. With the Mario ones, I had no plan on picking them up, and then, because they were discontinued at the end of March, I believe, I want to say. And, a few weeks ago, I was in Target and they still had maybe six or seven in the case. And I'm like, what the heck? I'll grab one. And I use it really just as a clock. It's a cool little clock. I have it plugged in pretty much all the time, running in clock mode.
Nice.
And I needed a like a bedroom clock anyway, so I'm like, all right, I can justify it. I don't know if I need another clock, and I have a million versions already of all the other Zelda games included in there. I think if they would have had the actual Game and Watch Zelda, it would have been awesome. But that was a dual screen setup, and I think that'd be maybe not cost effective, but I don't know. But it's interesting. We're thinking with the 35th anniversary. We're expecting some big announcements, and it really seemed like it sounded. If this was maybe all there was. Now, granted, Skyward Sword's coming out next month, but we already knew about that. Hyrule Warriors is getting DLC, but we already knew about it. Breath of the Wild 2, which we're going to talk about, that's not going to be till 2022, probably late 2022, if not even later. So it's like, did you guys feel let down with the anniversary announcements or lack thereof?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. I can understand why Nintendo's not doing as much. They are working really hard on Breath of the Wild 2. That I'm sure it takes a lot of resources. And then also porting Skyward Sword. So I do hope that Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, I know that there is extra work that goes into porting games from the Wii to the Switch, but it does seem like that is almost there. Like those games have already been converted to HD assets. So it does seem like that those should be, more easily ported. But so yeah, it was definitely a bummer, especially when Anuma was like, yeah, this is really all the campaigns we have planned, and we don't have anything else planned. So, but at least they say, hey, this is all we're doing. We'll probably see them for the 40th anniversary, and they'll have something big for that. I don't know, but.
I also think the Nintendo fan base puts more weight in anniversaries than Nintendo does themselves. To me, that's understandable because, like, every 5 years, then people are going to be calling out, especially now that we've got an internet who can make, such a big row about these things. And every 5 years, we got to release an updated version of this or an updated version of that. Nintendo is always more of a forward-thinking company. So although they certainly have been double dipping, quite a bit lately, of course. But yeah, I don't get upset when that you're expecting any kind of anniversary announcement or something along those lines, because I just don't think that's Nintendo, what Nintendo really likes to do. Except for
And
where it's obvious. They gave Mario a fantastic anniversary recently, but I don't expect that with all their franchises going forward.
That's a good point too. Nintendo could do like they did with Mario, and if they run the anniversary till like March 2022, we still have maybe this is all they had planned for 2021, and then on January be like, we have one more surprise, or to end the fiscal year. But I don't know. It's true about anniversaries. I mean, what if you're a Donkey Kong fan? What did you get from the C3?
It's the 40th anniversary of Donkey Kong, so
Yeah,
it's
so
like
oh. All right, but sticking with Zelda, we have the Breath of the Wild sequel. We don't have a name because evidently the name is going to be like kind of spoilerish.
Which is so
I don't
funny
know.
to
They
me.
didn't show a whole lot, but that hasn't stopped people from being a theorist and breaking down every little nugget of footage. But what did you guys think? First time we've seen it, I think, Kirk, since you and I were at E3 in 2019.
Yeah,
It's
I
a
think
long
so.
time.
Yeah.
Man. Oof. It's a long time for honestly, not a lot of footage,
Yeah,
to be frank.
this almost felt like less footage than the last one, even though maybe it's just that this trailer did just go by so quick. Whereas the other one, like, they're kind of like walking through the caves, and it was very slow developing. You keep seeing these glimpses of Ganondorf and this hand holding him down, and But man, this really, I'm glad they did call it a teaser. They called it what it was. It was just a teaser. It was not even really a full trailer. But we did actually get to see some, gameplay, that whole skydiving scene where Link comes down, and obviously with the Skyward Sword coming out in a month, the comparisons are natural. But man, I'm really excited to see what all is going on. It was kind of interesting, and kind of like what Trev, you alluded to this, Metroid Dread was still the most exciting thing to me at Nintendo's E3 presentation. I mean, I'm still really excited about the Breath of the Wild sequel, but there wasn't that much more shown to get me super excited. You know what I mean? Like some of the they had like some of the time manipulation mechanics. It looks like you're going to be able to, like a drop of water, you're going to be able to go back up. Maybe that's how you get to some of these islands. And he's even like phasing through the bottom of these islands. So it looks like there's going to be some crazy abilities and, whatever that technology that was keeping Ganondorf, down there is kind of fused to Link. So obviously your imagination runs wild to like what all abilities could we have. Could we potentially have a hookshot like device as well later in the game? So there's I do hope they expand the special items that you have and bring back maybe some classic ones and add some new ones. But it did feel like, hey, good. We're still seeing some Breath of the Wild 2. We should have been seeing it here after 2 years, but it's hard to get too excited without seeing a bit more.
That's fair. That's fair. Oh, well, sooner or later we'll get to it. Probably later, knowing Nintendo, but time will tell. We only got a few minutes left, but I figured there's a lot of stuff shown, and we can only discuss so much in depth. But I want to give each of us a chance to throw out just maybe one honorable mention. A game we haven't talked about, but a game that you're looking forward to. Justin, you want to kick us off? Is there anyone that caught your eye?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know, I mean the Advance Wars that we already talked about, that was pretty fun. Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that
We'll come back to you. We'll go to Kirk.
Yeah, actually, I'll talk quickly about two of them. The first one is WarioWare, Get It Together. Mainly because I loved WarioWare. Was it Smooth Moves on the Wii?
Yes.
Was so much fun in such a crazy way that most games weren't, at least when you first start playing through it. I was trying to describe the gameplay to my kids when we were watching the Get It Together trailer, and I couldn't really make them understand what it is about that game that was so crazy and so much fun. So I'm looking forward to that. But also the kind of my dark horse is that Astria Ascending that they showed, because that I played, I had a demo for that for the development company. I think it's the same development company, had a game that was released for the iPad called, I believe it was Ocarina Odyssey, that used a lot of the same game engine. It looks like the same style gameplay. It looks like this is built from that. And the iPad game that I played was really good, but there were things that were wrong with it that kind of stopped me from completing it. It's not even in the App Store anymore. I went back to see if I could still download it. Like a lot of the games that they pull, once you put them on your system, you can still grab it. You can't do that with that. So I'm looking to see if they got it right this time. And I'm into JRPGs. I'm into that style of game. So it's very much, in line with what I'm looking for. And I'm excited to see how that's evolved since I played it 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, those are some good choices. I'm definitely with you on WarioWare. I really liked the last entry on 3DS, WarioWare Gold. I played that a lot. And yeah, having it on a console and co-op, I think it's definitely one I'm going to keep an eye on. You come up with any, Justin?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed playing some of the Super Monkey Ball games back in the day. So actually seeing that Banana Mania game announced. Looks pretty interesting. So I might give that a shot. Have you guys played the Super Monkey Ball game as much?
I did, but not on the GameCube. I think it was on the Xbox, I think. I played. It was the GameCube game. It was just a port.
It's a very
Time I was on it was
interesting.
GameCube.
Yeah, it's a very interesting game, like where you're basically moving the world around you, you know, like you're tilting the world rather than the ball. But did you guys ever play Marble Madness on the original
Oh,
NES?
it's at the arcade, yeah. Yeah, we
Ah,
did.
Marble Madness was such a fantastic game. It was really kind of ahead of its time. Like I would love to see something like that even now, you know, like it was such an impressive game even at that time. So anyway, so Super Monkey Ball, kind of granted it's very different in the sense that you are, moving the world around the ball and tilting it, but very, very fun, compelling gameplay in the Super Monkey Ball game. So I'd be interested in that. And also I didn't remember the name, but that one that Kirk mentioned, that Astria Ascending, the art style does look fantastic. The turn-based combat, it kind of reminds me of the Battle Chasers Night War a little bit. It has a little bit more of like the Final Fantasy IV Heroes of Light art style than the Darksiders art style that the Battle Chasers has, but yeah, I definitely give it a shot. It looks interesting.
Nice. And Justin, I'll let you keep the microphone to bring this episode to a close because we are out of time.
Oh yeah. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. It's been really fun catching up on an E3 since we didn't have one last year. So even though it was just a digital one, Nintendo did still bring some great announcements, some great surprises, and Metroid Dread, Advance Wars 1 and 2, and some of these other honorable mentions we had. So thanks again to Kirk and Trev for joining, and we'll see you guys next time for some more walks down memory lane in the Zelda series.
Bye, everyone.